Are you excited about 2020? We are too, because this is the year of age and vitality. Join us on April 18th, 2020 in Fort Collins, Colorado, and September 19th, 2020 in Indianapolis, Indiana for the Wonder Health Age and Vitality Summits. You will not want to miss this explosive event. Check out more details and pre-register at wonderhealth.com, and that is Wonder with a U. This is the Wonder Life Podcast, the voice for health and wellness. Each week, we chat with real people doing big and small things to inspire us to light up our lives so we can go out and light up this world. You may find us on social at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U. We hope you enjoy our show. In this episode of the Wonder Life Podcast, we chat with the ambassador of fine living, Nancy Otino. A little backstory is that I met Nancy while getting my hair done and found out that she is committed to creating fun, light, buoyant, and fabulous multi-generational events so that women can come together simply to have a good time. Nancy is so inspiring at the age of 71, and I was so excited to chat with her so she could share her perspective on life, love, and having a good time. I hope you are inspired to live your best life wearing red lipstick and stilettos.
Well, for me, I don't like hanging out with women that are my age because...
I love it. You are making the cutest face right now. You don't have to, you don't have to feel that.
When I moved here, I started going to different clubs around town, and I found that women that were retired were my age, and all they talked about were their grandchildren, and I haven't got grandchildren, so I had nothing in common with them. So I realized that I needed to go out and find younger friends. And one of the things, too, I found interesting is that my mom at 99 doesn't like hanging out in her nursing home because everyone is too old, even though they're all 20 years younger. And when I was younger, I lived across the bay from my mom. And when I would come and visit her, she always had young women my age hanging out with her. They were going out to lunch with her. They were going to knitting class with her. And they were just loving my mom. And I thought, why do these young women like my mother? And I was a little bit jealous because they were my age. But my mother has always drawn young women to her. And I never understood why they liked her. But now that I'm my mother's age, I'm finding the same thing that young women do like to be around me, and I love to be around them. They give me energy. They're not on oxygen, and they're not on canes, and they still wear stilettos because
I love it.
I still wear my stilettos. So they make me feel young, and I think I bring something to them that an older person does. I mean, just a different perspective on life, and I'm hoping that I give them as much as they give me.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there's so much power in connecting with people who aren't just like you.
Right. So my group is growing. I think my youngest, I just got a new one. She's 27, which is shocking. 27, I'm definitely the oldest. And now I just met a woman that's 80 that, honest to God, fits in perfectly. And I'm trying to convince her that she needs to start joining my events. I think she might. But she's the only person that I've ever met at 80 years old that was even more lively than me. And I thought, like, she needs to be in this group. So anyway, so it's definitely multi-generational.
I love that. And I think that, I think that what you said about like you provide something for them and they provide something for you, that is true. But do you think it's like less about age and more about just energy and people who enjoy each other and are attracted to each other's energy? Because you're all about having fun. Like, I mean, you're so buoyant and you want to bring all these people together to have a good time, to be vital.
Yes. I mean, that's the most important thing. And I don't think it has anything to do with age. It makes me, I know when I mentioned this to my friends that live in California, where I'm from, when I was just out visiting them and I'm talking about my events and all my pretty young girls, and they roll their eyes like, what are you doing? It makes me feel a little weird. But then I think that, I think they like me. What I try to do is I call myself the ambassador of fine living. I think young women today are not, they weren't brought up like I was. I was brought up in San Francisco in the 1950s. I wore white gloves when I went out to lunch with my mom in, you know, in the city. And we were always dressed properly. Manners were really important to my family. And when I was a little girl, even 6, 7 years old, my parents used to take me to fine dining experiences in San Francisco, my brother and I. And we were always dressed up and we had to mind our manners and we enjoyed it. I mean, even at that young age, we would go to really nice restaurants in the evening. And I know people probably looked at my parents like, are they weird? But that's how I was brought up. I was just brought up to really enjoy fine living. Sunday nights were always family dinner in the dining room with candles. My dad loved candles. And oh my God, and I drank wine, because at 8 years old, I was anemic and my mother thought that red wine was good for my blood.
So, I think it is, right?
I don't know.
Anything the color of your blood minus like red Kool-Aid.
Is it? I don't know.
Yes, I have heard that. Like beets are good for your blood. Like, yeah. So your mom, she was doing what she thought she was
supposed to do. Might have been right. But she would give me these little glasses of wine watered down. I thought it was torture. But we had a little glass of wine because she thought it was good for my blood. But it was always about living well. That's how I was raised. And I think young people today aren't raised that way. And Bill and I, which is my husband, we were talking about it just the other day about how I want to bring that. I want to bring writing letters back. I wanted to bring making phone calls back. I want to bring that back. And Bill said to me, I don't think anybody wants that. I said, you know what? I don't really care. I think they need to know about it. I think they need to know what it's like to get a personal note in the mail. And I just don't think people do that anymore. And I think they miss it. But anyway, he said to me, you're showing your age. I went, so?
Well, I would disagree with Bill. Don't tell him. But I love nice paper. I love to write letters. I think there's something so real and connected about taking the time to say thank you. And I think that, you know, to your point, like, I don't think people are raised like that, because we, you know, our generation and like these younger folks who, you know, were raised in the 90s, you know, I was born in the 70s, like, you know, life started to get really busy. So I think my generation is on the tail end of the, like, that fine way of life. Or, you know, like my friends all went to, Cotillion when we were younger and like learned that stuff. And my family, the same way, like we had our rituals and these are the things you do, and you'd actually dress up to go to church and those sorts of things. And it's not good or bad, but I think that ultimately we got busy as a society. And so therefore weren't taking the time to teach our kids about going out to dinner, you know, dressing nicely, going out to dinner, sitting at a table without technology. Like, there is nothing more annoying to me than, and I will very on the occasion do it, so I'm being a hypocrite, but like, I hate to see kids sitting at a table with earphones on and an iPad. Like, they can't sit at a table and be quiet.
Right.
Or join the conversation, because I'm not one of those, you know, children should be seen, not heard people. But I think that you're right. I think that you're about creating connections for people. And so real connections mean you actually have to talk to people.
Yes. And I really truly believe in that. In fact, I went to a convention last week in San Francisco about communicating with people, and it was about social media. And the woman that stood up and started talking, she said, "We're going to start something new here. We're going to pick up the phone and start calling people." And I laughed and I said to my girlfriend, "I just said that to Bill last night." But it was so funny. So here they are, like, let's try something new. I think we're all so inundated with all the social media. I'm overwhelmed by it. It's exhausting me, and I don't think I'm really gaining much from it. So that's where I am. It's like I'm starting something new. Pick up the phone.
Well, it's so great. I mean, we'd rather not actually talk to each other, and I could break up with you, or I can text you or email you that I'm quitting my job and then I don't have to deal with you. And I don't think that people actually really in their real soul want to live in avoidance. I don't think they actually do. I think that we're in a really good time, and you're in a good time with some wisdom to elevate that, to start something new.
Yes, to start something new.
So what sorts of things are you learning hanging out with your younger friends?
Oh, that's a really good question. We don't talk about that.
What do you talk about?
It's really rather interesting. About 2 weeks ago, I was invited to a pajama party. So darn cute. And there was 25 ladies. I was definitely the oldest, and we were all dressed in, moderate Victoria's Secret. You know, they do have pajamas.
Yes.
But all very cute little 90s and things. And sex did come up. I like it at that level. I like it that we're only talking about fun things. We're having a glass of champagne. We're enjoying high tea at the Brown Palace or a really nice luncheon. We're sharing fun things, but nothing in depth. And I like that. I mean, I do have my girlfriends that are just like one-on-one that we go into heavy duty conversation, but my events are not about anything heavy duty. My events are only about having a really lovely afternoon together. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I told my friend a long time ago, because I used to be like so deep that it was exhausting.
Yes.
And I mean, it was really like tiring, and he said something about me being deep. And I was like, deep is dead, because I needed to like have a break, because it was just heavy. And you know, and so I think that I've come to balance with that. So like fun is why we can age with vitality. Fun is that buoyancy.
Right.
You know, and so there's a time and a place, right? So you're having these events just to have fun.
Yes. It is not about analyzing each other. One of the things I learned from the young people is that being young is really hard. I forgot that. When I was there, I forgot how hard it was. I see them go through issues with just their life in general. It's just so much harder when you're young.
Why do you think? Why? What are they saying?
I guess the biggest thing that I look at is the relationships with their husbands, how hard they are. When you're young, there's so many more things being thrown at you. And I think in this generation, it's harder than it was in my generation. Although I was married twice, this is my second husband. I really kind of feel sorry for them, because they're struggling with their children, their jobs, trying to make their husbands happy and vice versa. And just so many things on their plate. And now me in retirement, I get to just do fun things. and I have a, And I have a really great partner who lets me do that, and that we share really wonderful times together, and that our hard times are behind us. I mean, we've been together 35 years. And at the beginning, yes, everything was harder than it is today. But that's what I look at. And I appreciate my age and my retirement, and that I'm over the rough patches of my life. So that's what I see when I see them. It's like, gosh, they still have so much ahead of them. And I'm now getting to enjoy my life. All my ducks are in a row. I've never had that before. I've never had that. I would always have one little duck that was floating off somewhere else. And I really don't have that anymore. So that's,
what do you think that's about? Do you think that's just life experience, or you're just evolving and
I think
being happier?
I think evolving. I find the really interesting thing about myself these days is I don't let many things bother me anymore. I let a lot of things go that maybe in the old days I would have just held on to and tried to fix. I just don't try to fix things anymore. I look at them and think, God, they're 71 years old. There's not much changing these people. I have to accept them the way they are or move on. Those are my old friends, or, you know, some people that I still have relationships that are my age. And some things I have given up. With friends that I've had for years, and just like, they're not on my page anymore. So, and it kind of bothers me that I've lost them, but it also, it feels freeing that I've let that part of my life go. They've tortured me for 35 years. I just don't need it anymore.
Good for you. I mean, that's huge, right? Like,
well, because it just happened to me recently, for a friend that I've known since I was 27. And I had to let it go. And it was hard. And I haven't seen the end of it yet, but at the moment I'm feeling free.
Very, very cool. Like, we are never too young to start only being in relationships with people that uplift us. I mean, you know, it's like you find yourself because of where you live or where you work or your circumstances. Like, we connect with people and we get into these relationships, and sometimes they just don't serve us anymore. And so that can, it's, you know, sometimes painful to get to the liberation, but what are you going to do? Carry dead weight that no longer works for your paradigm?
Yes. I mean, I had several people ask me why I held on to this relationship. And I said, because I've been with you 35 years. And they said, like, so? I said, 35 years? I mean, how can you give that up? Even longer. I mean, it's probably like 40 years. How can you give that up? And it was especially a girlfriend's husband that said this to me, because it just happened recently. And I just said, I just can't. And I came home and I thought about it and thought about it. And I talked to Bill about it. And he said, I think it's time to let her go. And I did. It was hard. She let me. She actually dumped me because I brought up subjects that she had done to me recently. That it was a repeat of over the years of things that she'd done to me. And I just said, I just don't want to do it anymore. And she said, well, I guess we're done then. I said, wow, are you kidding me?
Wow.
I know. It was really bad. It was really bad. But
that's
here I am.
Crazy. I mean, after all that time, it's so interesting. But some people, you know, are not interested in moving along or taking responsibility for how they treat other people.
I guess for her, no one ever stands up to her. She always wins.
You know, that's a tricky pickle.
Wins. And I've always let her win because I just didn't want to ruin our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I finally just came to that place of, this isn't working much anymore. It makes me feel really, really bad. So why should I feel that way? It's just no sense. So anyway, that's where I am.
So as far as like what, you know, you making some decisions about like letting things go, I know this situation just happened, but like, was there a time, like, you know, maybe in your 40s or your 50s that you started to like have shifts and like the sorts of relationships or things you wanted to engage in, or I don't want to get that deep about whatever, or I want to be the fun party. Like, I want to give people a place to like truly enjoy these finer things in life. Did that come, you know, earlier and that you've built up to where you are now with just being free and in a good place in your life?
It actually started when I moved to Colorado, because before then I was in Connecticut for 20 years and working. And when you work, I was running a business there. I had a public relations business, and it was stressful, and I had to do a lot of things I didn't want to do in order to keep my business running. And letting people do things to you that you didn't like because you just needed their business. So I think when I moved here, I retired and realized that I didn't need to make money anymore. That's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You don't need to make money anymore. You're now living off of, you know, your stocks and bonds and all of that. You don't need to make money anymore. It changes how you look at life and how you choose to live your life. And Bill and I talk about that often, about how the stress of working really changed our relationship or made it different than it is today. So it didn't start until I retired, and that was at 65. So it's been 6 years. And it was only about maybe 3 years ago that I decided I'm only going to have fun. I'm only going to wear stilettos. I'm only going to wear red lipstick. And I'm having a martini every night. And I do.
I love it. What kind of martini?
Grey Goose, very dry, with an olive.
One.
That's
what green is. Do you do a green olive or do you have special olives?
Well, I change them up because Bill always makes me the cocktails, and he surprises me from time to time with different stuffings.
We love Bill. How sweet. Bill, so you and Bill are having more fun. Was he on board when you were like 3 years ago? Like, I'm only going to have fun. And Bill's like, well, let's do that.
Oh yes. I didn't broadcast that. It wasn't something that I said, okay, from now on, I'm only having fun. it just happened. And as the time has gone by, he says to me often, this is the happiest we've ever been. We both live separate lives during the day. And every night at 5 o'clock on the dot, it's the rule we have to be home, because that's where we have our cocktail and we visit and, you know, talk about our day and our life and whatever we're going to do. And then that's just the way our life has come. It's just that we want to be together every single night. And Friday night is date night. I mean, I'm 71 and he's 74 and we're still like crazy about each other.
I love it.
He's my very, very best friend. And we have a really great time together. Retirement at the beginning was hard because we didn't know how to make it work for us. Because you see a lot of retired people, they go to the doctor together, then they go to lunch. And we started that way. You know, it's like, do you want me to take you to the dentist today? I was like, no. I can drive the dentist.
Well, right. Like, because you don't just hang out with someone all day, every day. Like, that's not how you lived your life up until that point. So it's like a weird sort of recalibration.
It was. And we did that. I would say we did that for about a year. And I was talking to my cousin and I said, I hate making lunch for Bill every day. And she said, why do you? And I said, well, because that's what my mother did.
Oh my God, Nancy, that is the best thing I've ever heard. That's what your mother did. So you think this is how we're supposed to roll.
This is what you're doing it looks like. You have lunch together and then you go to the doctor together.
The whole doctor thing, I'm like, oh my God. It seems like once people like hit 65, like all I'm hearing is like about doctor's visits.
Oh, geez.
It's exhausting.
Bill and I are both healthy, so we do not do doctors very often. But it's still, even it could be the dentist. It could be, you know what I'm saying? It's just always something that you do need to do. And no, I don't need to go with you. I can drive myself. But anyway, that was so that was my cousin who laughed at me. She said, "Well, just stop." And I went, "Okay." So I told Bill, "I'm not making lunch for you anymore." He goes, "Okay, fine, I'll just go out." I mean, he could care less.
That is awesome. Bill is easy.
Yes. Well, actually, our new schedule is that we both spend morning coffee, you know, an hour or so in the morning, and then we just go off. No matter, I have no idea where he goes, what he does, and vice versa. And then we get together again at 5. So for us, it's just like perfect.
I love that. Yeah. I love that because you guys have your own lives. There's a whole world to experience and people to experience. And
right.
Well, but here's the thing. You keep talking about being retired, but I feel like you are planning an event like 2 a week.
I love to work. And I said, yes, work is my entertainment. I just don't like playing bridge or golf or taking art lessons. I like to make money. I mean, that's yeah. Like, that is, and I have to admit, it's not been up to today or this year. I've never really thought about making money, but I realize that making money is what keeps me young. I like that goal of making money. It's what I like. You know, I'm very goal oriented, and that is my dangling carrot. Money.
Oh yeah. It's mine too.
You know,
I'm like, I gotta make money, and I have to be, you know, living my purpose, whatever that is.
Yes.
You know, like I wanna make sure I'm impacting people in a positive way,
right,
and making money at the same time. Because as much as I love giving, which I do give, like I have financial goals. So I think that I'm very motivated by that.
I am,
but I watch it too, because back to your point, because I started a PR firm in 2005 and it was the same thing where I was going after business and taking what I could get and maybe working with companies that I didn't love. And then like, that's, if you have to think about someone's marketing, like you're basically married to them.
Yes.
And if you are not aligned with who they are, or even if they're great and it's just a boring business.
Yes.
Then you're not putting your real self in there. So the dollar, though lovely, gets tricky to be motivated to make, right?
Right. And that happened to me. I was with one client for 9 years. And at the end of that 9 years, I was so bored with the business that I fortunately retired. That was my excuse. I'm retiring now. It's like, oh my God, I am so glad to get out of here. And it wasn't that I didn't like the company or like the people, but after 9 years, 9 years is enough. And I was doing PR for them in events, and I was just bored. So now I'm never bored anymore because I get to pick what I want to do. It makes such a difference.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So how do you think, because we don't want to get too deep really, but how do you think that having fun be at, like, as the center of not only like your life and what you are intentional about, but creating a space for other people to step into that joy. How do you think that helps you age well? How do you think that helps people be happy?
That's a hard question. I don't know. I guess the only thing I can hope for is that my joy goes, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? That it becomes part of them. I hope my events elevate them, even for that 2 or 3 hours that we're together. It elevates them to a point that they can carry that on to the next day, or, you know, whatever their life is. But maybe just for those 3 hours that they're just elevated. I guess that's my only hope, is that they can carry that on into their life the next day. I just want to be joyful when I'm with them, and I'm hoping that they feel it.
Well, they clearly do, because they keep coming back for more, and these groups of people are growing. Like, you started creating something, and now you have, depending on how many people you can have to these special experiences, because you're creating experiences for people that you're going to enjoy.
Yes.
You facilitate it. You like the people, and then your joy energetically certainly spreads out to them. And I love how simple it is. I love how it doesn't have to be this earth-shattering thing. It's just about having fun and joy. And that is what changes the world, Nancy. That is what changes the world.
Well, I laughed because when I moved here, I said to Bill, I am going to change one woman at a time to start wearing stilettos, red lipstick, and just dressing up a little bit.
Oh my God. I love it so much. Like the joy that you are giving me right now.
It's just like...
This has been an episode of the Wonder Life Podcast, the unofficial sponsor of peace, power, and love on the planet Earth. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you like more information about Wonder Health or Wonder Health Summits, check us out on social at Wonder Life, at Wonder Health, and our website, wonderhealth.com. And that is Wonder with a U. Go out and shine your light.